Good morning. It is good to see you all. It's only been 9 days since we've been here, but I've been thankful to meet the Kimmel clan. I think it's been great. Yes, every one of you, I've been thankful to get to know. And those the rest of you that I've met and been able to talk to, I want to get to know you more. Please set up. Tell me when. I keep sending texts like, let me know. Well, I think I send it mostly to Greg. Like, hey, when can you get a lunch? He's the last person, right, that I'm going to be able to get a lunch with. But let me know if I can come eat with you or coffee or whatever you like to do. I want to get to know you better. I can't reiterate enough that how thankful I am to be here. I don't plan on telling you anything new that you haven't heard of before, but hopefully just to remind you what we're doing here. As believers, not necessarily right here, but as believers in 2017, spending time with family, celebrating Christmas, what does that mean? And I just start with a question. Thinking about Christmas, sitting back at night in the chair or in the bed and your lights on and you're reading and you're thinking about Christmas, what comes to mind? What does your soul ache for? What does it feel? I think of Christmas, I'm thinking of, oh, goodness, I'm going to have to drive up here, and I'm going to drive over here, and I don't know if I have the gas money, or, okay, now I've got to buy presents. Now they've had kids, so now I've got to buy double the presents. And do you ever get there on Christmas? Not very peaceful. We sing all these songs about the peace of the first night and Mary giving birth, and I don't know how often I get there, that I'm actually resting in the truth that a holy God, wholly separate from us because he's pure and perfect, came to us. And that's what we're celebrating. We were singing in the last song, and one of the lyrics that really struck me was, "A weary world rejoices." And coming to this is kind of how I felt after the move, and I was sleeping almost 12 hours a night because Miranda took Pete up to her parents, and I was totally exhausted in its perfect darkness in the basement where the Kimmels live. And all that to say, my hope for this morning, I hope this is short and sweet, but I hope it reminds you of the sweetness of what we're doing, why we're celebrating Christmas, why we're seeing family, why we're traveling long distances. Some to Colorado, some are going to Colorado. You've also got parties to prepare for. Today we're going to be in Luke 1:26. We're just going to go through some of the truths of what Gabriel came and had a conversation with Mary. We're going to go through that and see if we can find some new freshness in that conversation, and thankfully we just did Luke 2, so I don't have to go there. Let me read Luke 1:26, and I'll go through 38 if you want to go through with me. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting that this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "Well, how will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." The angel departed her from her. Now let me pray for us. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everyone who came and the clear roads and the safety that you brought us. The busyness outside of right now, the overwhelming difficulties that all of our individual families are going through can weigh us down with such a burden that we feel like we can't carry. And let us, with this half hour, push that, leave that outside, leave it at the door, and rest in you. Find your truth in this. Let us see you afresh right now, God. So this passage is a familiar one. This whole story is a familiar one, right? So Mary conceives, goes to Elizabeth for 3 months, and then she comes back to Joseph. Joseph kind of freaks out because now his betrothed is 3 months pregnant and just came back from the mountains, and so you can guess what he's thinking. And the angel comes to him, and they get married, and when they move in together, the betrothal is sealed, and then they go to Bethlehem because of the census, and then all the shepherds come, and then they get the warning a little later about Herod, and they go to Egypt, and then they're there, and Herod dies, and then they go back to Nazareth. Now, this is all familiar, but there are some things in this passage, and I'm reading through, and I'm prepping, and all these big pastors like Kevin DeYoung and the Gospel Coalition and John Piper, they're, do this Christmas morning, do this sermon, and but don't get cute, and here I am, I'm all, oh, what do I do? And so I'm studying, I'm going, and I've got pages and pages, and it's way too complicated. And we're already familiar with the rest, but I hope this here is sufficient for us this morning. Let me break this down. Let me pull out what I want to remind us of this morning, because really there's a point to Jesus coming to the earth and being born in a glorious way of a virgin womb and coming into this world. There was a point. Verse 28, and he came to her, the angel, and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." God has given you grace. You were receiving grace from God. It is not something you have done. It is something God is giving you. His favor. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And so right now, everything Gabriel is saying is building up who Mary is going to give birth to, who this son is going to be, Jesus. We have all these different translations, Yeshua, Joshua, all these things, but it means Yahweh is salvation. And this is something Mary is going to understand. Mary's going to know the Yahweh name of God. And to be told, this son is going to be Yahweh is salvation. Verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." And that is also another name for God. It first found in Genesis 14. They say, God, the Most High. He's higher than the rest. He's the Most High, as high as you can get. And so he's also reminded her that this is going to be your son. He's the Son of God. And she'll understand that language. "And the Lord God," going on, "will give him the throne of his father David." Right? Because they understood that the Messiah, the ruler, was going to come through the lineage of David. "And the Lord God, and he will," 33, "and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." For it says we're going, whose kingdom has no end? It wasn't David's that came to God's. God's kingdom has no end. And here, it's just beautiful to me. This is what Gabriel is doing. Like, you will give birth. You will not need a man. It'll be God. It'll be the Son of God. His kingdom will go forever. And I love Mary's response. And it reminds me of my wife. And it is amazing. Here, I'm a big picture person. I've got all these ideas. You're going to give birth to the Son. He's going to be the Son of God. And what does Mary say? Well, how will this be if I'm not a virgin? The details. You're missing something, Gabriel. I can't give a birth. I'm a virgin. I don't have a husband. What? Logical and detailed. The humanity of Mary. The relation of Mary to us today. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, called Holy, the Son of God." Let me read that one again. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, Son of God." Before she even understands what's happening, as we're researching this, the Trinity is just laid out. As an essential Christian doctrine, Mary hasn't even figured this out. Okay, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, who we said is God, the Father, will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Hoping you're seeing the magnificence of this birth, what Gabriel is saying to Mary, that this is no ordinary thing. Of course, once you're going to give birth, you're a virgin. Two, who is this boy? That person of the Trinity. Mary didn't quite understand what was going to happen in 30. There's no way. We only get it because we can look back on it. But the point of Jesus coming so that he could die for us. And yes, we take this time to celebrate the birth. But this is the gift. What was the point? You know, if we look back at the birth and we say, what's the point of God coming through the virgin womb? Is it just God to show his power and his might, that he has control of the world? Well, no, I don't think so, because he could have done that in any way. He could have done any miracle he wanted, opened the sea and let people walk through it, anything he chose to do. But here also in the virgin birth, we see that Christ was to come and be perfect. We talk about this, the sin that we're born into, that clings onto us with Adam and his sin. In the beginning chapters of Genesis, the reason we're born into sin is because they poison the world with their sin, and anything that comes into this world following them is also poisoned by the sin. And the only way for Christ to live perfectly, the first step was him to be born perfectly. So he must be born without a father. Yes, the purpose of his birth was death. And this is the gospel, and even the gospel here that I tried to walk through in this chapter, that this was our gift. This, in all the chaos that we're going through, and I know the marital problems that we all have, that we all struggle through, we're laboring through, friends and family members who are sick, that bring us pain because we're watching them die. This world is without peace if there is no Christ. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Because the greatest gift ever given was born in a miraculous way for the purpose of dying for us. Wrap this section up. I'll go to Colossians 1. See why he was born. Paul in Colossians gives us a great reminder of a gospel message. I'll just read it. 15 through 23. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. For us to be alive in Christ, we are of the lineage of the dead, of Adam. And Christ was the firstborn of the genealogy of life that we're a part of. That in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. That message, that life, what he did for us, this is why Christ came. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It is this gift that a holy God, totally pure, totally perfect, would be born into a simple woman's womb. That is just like us. If you brought Mary and you brought her here and she talked to all of you, you would all feel a relationship to this woman because she's just a simple, loving follower of God. We celebrate that reconciliation that Christ brought us that began with his birth. This is why a weary world rejoices. This is why we must. This should be that we have nothing else that we can do but praise him, but sing to his praises. So this is what I hope brings peace for you this Christmas Eve and tomorrow and any parties you're going to and anything that you're worrying about that comes with that. You're going to see family members that are maybe different sides of the political scale and you're worried, oh, what are they going to say to me? This other person who's not a believer, oh, what are they going to say? They're going to bring up some question that I don't know and how do I respond to them? Maybe it's just the busyness of the season. I've only been here a few days, like I said, and already I've heard from a lot of you just hardships that you're going through or working through and hardships that others that you're praying for because it's just where they are. It's where we are as assembly of Christians and all of our lives and difficulties with our children and difficulties with our parents and all of this that I pray that this will bring you peace, that this God, who was fully in right to leave us in darkness, came to us in complete humility, walked a perfect life, and gave himself on the cross. And I pray that with the busyness, this is rest for your soul. In the face of death of loved ones or difficulties, loved ones, that this is your hope in that difficulty. For your marriages that are in hard times or seem dull or seem like you're just ready for the next step, that this is the hope for you in that. All of it. Christ made possible. Gave us the ability to, the ultimate peace, reconciliation with the Father, that we also may have one another. I'm just going to wrap up now. No need to continue, but I ask you to remember this, even on your way home, before you hop on planes and leave, before you go to the next Christmas party, that keep this on the forefront of your mind. This is what we're doing. This is why we're giving presents. This is why we're making drives. It's the gratefulness and thankfulness that Christ came in this season for us. Thank you. Pray. God.